Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Paco Romain.
And I'm George Chad.
And you're listening to Sup Doc, a show where we talk to interesting people with strong opinions about their favorite documentaries.
On today's episode, we discuss the 2015 documentary, The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened?, directed by John Schnepp.
This film digs deep into the failed Nicolas Cage, Tim Burton adaptation of Superman that never made it to even principal photography.
This is an episode for nerds, by nerds, and our guest is our favorite comic book nerd, comedian Bert DeVitri.
Nerd. We are here with comedian Bert DeVitri. Hello, Bert.
Hello, Bert.
Good evening. Thank you guys so much for having me on the show today.
Yeah. You're certainly welcome. Thanks for coming. And
yep.
You just showed us the grossest thing
we
should talk about.
RoboCop scene 27. Just Google it.
The 27 implies the 27 dicks we just saw blow up.
Don't spoil it.
That is.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Trigger warning.
Yeah,
we're spoiling a documentary and one of the funniest videos on the internet.
George, here's a question for you. As someone who didn't grow up near Detroit, like Bert and I are both from Michigan. Mm-hmm. What was your impression of Detroit when you were growing up as a kid? I'm asking this because of RoboCop.
Yeah, Dr. Detroit was the one movie that I knew about from there. When I was a kid, I don't think I knew much about it at all.
Did it scare you? Was it like a city where you're like, everyone dies?
Didn't even remember that RoboCop was in Detroit until it was like, you know, brought up later. I was pretty young when it came out.
So, right.
Yeah.
Well, like...
my impression of Detroit, I didn't really have much.
Isn't like Chicago the new Detroit?
Deaths financially
and killing
or,
people and all
I feel
that
like
stuff.
It's, Chicago's had dangerous areas for a very long time.
Yeah. I think Baltimore is kind of like the new.
Yeah,
Detroit.
Maybe around the time of like The Wire or something.
Yeah. You know, just because like Chicago's always had like a section that's been like shiny and part of like the machine. And then there's the South Side, the Southeast Side, which is just like killings.
I spent one day in Baltimore, and I was like, I want to go back to Oakland right away.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about Baltimore.
No one ever says that.
I know. It's the one city that Oakland can make fun of is Baltimore. Yes. And so you picked us, The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened? As your doc.
I've watched it 5 times. I love it.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing that interests me more than like a comic book movie that like didn't happen that... And this one like involves like Kevin Smith and Nicolas Cage and Tim Burton and John Peters, who made like all the superhero movies from when I was growing up and when I was a kid, and like what I think of Superman and what I think of Batman. And, you know, Tim Burton had a big hand in that too. And it's just like, how could this movie have not happened? It had every single working gear to be like the next big franchise. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And, like, the Superman movie that followed it was, we were allowed to swear, right?
Yes.
It was complete dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, compared to everything that Tim Burton and John Peters and all these guys, like, wanted to do in their movie. And then we get Bryan Singer's Superman movie, which is just, like, the most bland take on Superman ever. Like, he doesn't even fight. like he punches, and instead in the documentary, he punches an island.
He doesn't punch anything but an island.
Yeah, he punches an island, and it's true. Like, you're watching the movie, like, oh, cool, he caught a bullet in the eye really quick against thugs, which is stupid because he can just eradicate them immediately.
Right.
And then, like, he can, gets an airplane out of the sky, and that's all you get from Superman pretty much that whole movie.
Well, I mean, that's the things you're bringing up also bring up why Superman is a difficult character, because no one's as he's too powerful.
But
he's
Doomsday's,
like, so powerful.
Doomsday matches him on a strength level.
That's, I guess, in, well, we can go through. So that would be your pitch to someone who, like, you're just like, even if you don't care about superheroes, what's interesting about this, you know?
Exactly. And it's just like Nicolas Cage was like a huge actor at this time, and you know, now he's just kind of become like almost a punchline, which sucks.
He had financial problems.
Yes, because it's financial problems, so he'll take any movie. So like when your Netflix queue comes up, it's just like Nicolas Cage does this. Nicolas Cage is basically in a ripoff of Taken. You know, it's like all these movies, and like he did Ghost Rider. It's like the superhero movie you did was Ghost Rider.
Right. Yeah. Which I actually do like. I've never saw it. I like the commercial because it's like him being like, it's like my head is on fire. Like, that's perfect Nicolas Cage. That's like Raising Arizona Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he first became like an action star?
Yeah, it was The Rock.
The Rock.
Wasn't
Rock. Yeah, because he was a weird character actor before that. So it's like that alone, when that came out, I was like, how is this a thing?
Yeah.
How is this guy?
It was a great movie.
I love The Rock, but it was like, it was the first, that was someone taking a chance.
Right.
You know, making him an action star.
Good to The Rock.
Yeah. So that's like two very impressionable people you can do good impressions of is Connery and Cage.
Let's do ours. I'm going to.
How many dragons do you know?
Well, I don't do Cage.
Okay.
No, that was. I was like, no, no.
It's the worst improv moment ever. I'm so sorry.
You no butted me.
No.
No butts on this show.
Trying to be funny.
No
Give
butts
the guy
on this
a
show.
Break.
I do. How many?
You're the man now, dog. All right.
But your Nicolas Cage was pretty good.
Before?
Yeah. Oh,
that's that. But yeah, do you remember, do you see Vampire's Kiss?
Oh, yeah.
What a weird movie.
Yeah, it is a weird movie. Oh, and you know, what's the one where he's the ambulance driver?
Oh, that's Scorsese. It's Bring Out the Dead.
Yeah, Bring Out the Dead. That's pretty good.
We tried to do a riffing show for Vampire's Kiss. I did it with like Natasha Muse. And, you know, I was doing that show with Andre Parker when he was still doing, comedy, you know. And it was, like, an unriffable movie. Like, Vampire's Kiss is, like, it doesn't adhere to any rules.
It's a weird movie.
So it's, like, you can't really riff a movie that is so out of its... It's just too almost like there's no what reality are we looking at right now? It's too hard.
Yeah, you're right. And on that, you know what? Let's just plug it. We're in Sketchfest January 29th.
January 29th.
Come see us at 4:30 p.m. at Piano Fight in San Francisco.
We haven't figured out very much more about it, but that's gonna be it.
We got a date. Hey, you guys are in Sketchfest. SF Sketchfest.
Second year.
I'm in SF Sketchfest too.
Cool. What's your date?
January 18th at the Eureka Theater at 8 p.m. Don't watch this show live. We'll be happening again somehow.
Beautiful. Cool. Love it. Love it.
And I think this is my fourth or fifth year. I can't remember.
Yeah. Right on. Oh, nice. Well, you know what? The Romaine event's in Sketchfest, too.
Oh, is it?
January 21st, 8 p.m. at the Brava Theater.
Hey, aren't you helping me write my sketch show this year?
I think I am.
Oh, man, we are so intertwined.
Yeah,
hey, you guys.
What?
Talkies is going to be at Sketchfest at Piano Fight.
You guys are so famous.
January 13th at 8 p.m.
Look at us. We are the Paul F. Tompkins of
San Francisco.
If you live in Australia, I guess forget about the last 3 minutes.
No, fly in to Sketchfest.
Or fly in.
And see us.
I'm actually probably going to set my phone up in the very back of the room so... put it live on Facebook. So friend me on. No, the Sketchfest.
I thought you meant right now. Let's Facebook Live this.
We should at some point Facebook Live an episode.
Yeah.
I think if you would like that idea, go to Facebook on our page, SupDoc Podcast, and tell us that you want to see us
or Facebook
Live.
Live yourself listening to the show and just, you know, doing your dishes or whatever.
Yeah, do your dishes. Jesus, you slob. And so you, Bert, are a big comic book guy, right?
I am a very big comic fan.
Yeah. And your favorite genre of comic books is superhero type?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
You superhero tights? Types. Oh, yeah. Okay, got it.
I was introduced to comic book characters one time I was at the arcade, and I didn't know what it was, but all the adults were playing the X-Men arcade game, and I was like, who are these characters? Mm-hmm. And then, like, a year later, the X-Men Marvel show, Fox Kids TV show came out.
That one? Yeah.
And I was like, what? This is all those people from that. From that video game, like, this is awesome. And my mom was like, cool. So that was, like, right about the time of the death of Superman. And so, like, those were, like, my first comic books was, like, the death of Superman and, like, leading up to all that stuff.
It's, like, 95? When is
it? It was 93.
93, okay.
93, 94, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
through video games is how you found the characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. And I've owned all the Marvel video games and stuff through the years, and took a long time off comic books, and then came back to them a couple of years ago, and I'm so happy I did.
So it sounds like you were a Marvel guy then.
Mm-hmm, definitely more of a Marvel guy.
Yeah, but then Superman.
But still love, like, Batman's one of my favorite characters of all time. I'm not a huge Superman fan, but I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I get why everyone likes, like, his escape. Like, he can't be defeated, and, like, everybody wants that. You know, everybody wants Superman's powers. Like, I want to fly. I want to be indestructible. I want to, you know, go faster than a speeding bullet, you know? So I get it, and I love Superman. I'm just, like, not the biggest Superman fan.
I remember, like, hearing something, or maybe it was in reading something about how Superman was created by these two Jewish kids and sort of was, like, a proxy for the immigrant experience in America.
Yeah, the Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay.
That's very much it's that story.
Yeah.
The Escapist. Yeah,
That's such a great book, too. Yeah, I'd read the same thing. So this is what I don't understand, because I am not a comic book guy. Mm-hmm. I think when I was a kid, I read Richie Rich.
That's the weirdest one.
You're the first person to ever say that,
and I liked it a lot. I was a Mad Magazine Robbins dude.
Mad Magazine's great. That's great.
Mad Magazine. I was a Mad Magazine, and then slightly Cracked, and then to a lesser extent Stupid, which a lot of people don't. But anyways, I was a huge Mad Magazine fan. I was not a big comic book guy, but I don't understand the difference between DC Comics and
Marvel Comics.
Marvel.
Should we just do this as a breakdown, like what the breakdown
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I don't understand what.
So they're two completely different companies and two completely different universes. So in DC, you have the Justice League of America, which, from what I remember, is Batman, Superman, Green Lantern,
Wonder Woman.
Or
like the cartoon, the Justice League. You grew up with Flash. That cartoon?
And Cyborg.
Okay, yeah.
Flash and Cyborg.
Mm.
That's weird. Yeah, I didn't know Cyborg as a character really until. Yeah.
Yeah, Cyborg is an amazing character. Like, all the stuff that he goes through, like, he's a football player, and then something really bad happens to him, and then his dad.
A concussion?
Will Smith is playing him. and then, like, his dad, like, is a geneticist, so he, like, fixes his kid, and then he comes across, like, these cosmic things that make him more powerful.
Marvel universe, like the big hitters there, it's like Captain America, the Avengers, all that whole movie franchise, which is weird because there's the movies that got made by other companies. Like, there was a bunch of Punisher movies, there was a bunch of like Spider-Man is in a different Spider-Man only recently came back into the Marvel fold because of rights issues of, like, people that when Marvel had no money, I guess in, like, the late 90s, they were really losing a lot of money. Yep. They sold
and
the rights to everything.
Disney ended up buying them, but, like, Fox and Sony also bought, like, Fox bought the X-Men, so Fox has the X-Men, and then pretty much all mutants. They own the mutant names, so.
Right, like, the concept of mutants.
And then, like, so they can use same type characters in the Avengers because they're owned by Marvel Studios. So, like, Quicksilver is in X-Men, but he's also was in the Avengers Age of Ultron movie and dies, but he's not referred to as Quicksilver, and they're referred to as metahumans and not mutants. So, like, all of Marvel's financial difficulties have kind of, like, starting to be more resolved, but, like, what happened is, like, everything got dispersed. Like, Fox got, like I said, X-Men, and then Sony got Spider-Man, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think they got Blade and Ghost Rider as well, but now Marvel owns Blade and Ghost Rider. So it's just never-ending.
I got a call from Terry Semel, who was the head of Warner Brothers, and said, we want you to come back to the studio. And I said, I'm working on something now, which is really what I want to do. I had made Batman. And he said, what? And I said, I think I bought the rights to Superman. He said, you idiot. Warner Brothers owns it. I own it. I said, no, you don't. Check. Came back and he said, you're right, you do.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
For people who haven't seen the documentary, just kind of explain what this documentary is for people.
Sure. So The Death of Superman Lives is about a movie that John Peters wanted to make about Superman and reviving the whole franchise, and they cast Nicolas Cage as Superman. Got Tim Burton on board to direct, and this movie was supposed to be Superman dying from Doomsday and Brainiac, and it got to the day of principal photography and was subsequently ended.
Right. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And the year 98?
98,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is. Do you think, Bert, do you think it would not, let's see, how am I going to phrase this? Do you think it would have continued if it was made today?
Do I think that Superman franchise would be alive today?
Yes.
No. I mean, it's what? So much later? Like, how many years? Almost 20 years? Yeah, almost 20 years. So yeah. I don't think Nicolas Cage would still be playing Superman.
Okay.
But would the continuity still exist? Maybe.
Got it.
Because I know, like, for that Superman movie that Bryan Singer made, they continued the continuity of
Donner movies.
The first four movies.
Right, right.
And there has not been a good Superman movie since Superman 2.
Okay. Like,
yeah.
Nobody has...
Christopher Reeves?
Yes. Yeah. So Superman 1 and 2 were basically shot back-to-back.
Right.
And then they were? I didn't know that.
They were shot back-to-back, and then they had a falling out with Donner. So he directed, I think it was 49% of it, even though he shot all of it.
It's credited
They
to
went
him.
Back and reshot 51% of the movie, so he didn't get his like full directing
shut
credit.
Shut up.
And
assholes.
About 10 or 15 years ago, Richard Donner finally put out his cut of Superman 2.
Oh.
And there's like a lot of blanks in between it and stuff, but you can still obviously keep up with it, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But like that was the last good Superman movie. Like Superman 3 was him and Richard Pryor.
Right.
And they have like, they fight video games and Superman's drunk and it's just like, what are you doing?
Oh, the two Supermen happens.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's like a bizarro fight in it. It was kind of what they were going for. And then the fourth one was like Superman fighting Lex Luthor, who creates Nuclear Man, which is not really a thing.
Is it still Gene Hackman in 4?
Yep.
That's good. At least they still had Hackman.
Yep.
So that's like Brando is in the first two.
Yeah.
Because I think he died by the time 2 came out, right? I think. No. He died in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, never mind. But yeah, Brando is in the second one, yeah.
And Brando is Superman's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did see that. I remember my mom took me to see Superman, that first one at the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's little clips of that one in here, and there's little clips of the one that Bryan Singer did. Yeah. So what do you think of the most recent two retreads, which is Superman Returns?
I didn't hate Man of Steel.
Okay, Man of Steel.
I didn't hate Man of Steel. I thought it was fine for what it was, but like, I mean, Superman kills countless amounts of people, which Superman doesn't do. You know, like, there's way too much destruction of, like, these buildings blowing up. He's like, he should have taken the fight, like, outside of Metropolis or whatever, because, like, thousands of people must have died in the Zod fight. Mm-hmm. And it's weird that they brought Zod back, which is not... He was not in the comic books.
Right, he's
like,
just
he was
from...
in, like, one comic book before that.
Really?
Before the movie came out. Mm-hmm. And it's really weird that they're like, we're going to do Zod again. It's like, Zod's not even really a DC, like, canon character. Right. Like, he's been all over the place.
Zod's dead, baby.
Mm-hmm. And then Batman vs. Superman was whatever it was. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was just, I don't know.
Didn't see that one. I really found the beginning of the Man of Steel, like all the Krypton stuff was too ridiculous to me.
Really?
Like it was that I didn't like. I didn't want it to be all Avatar-y the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was like moments that I thought were good. But I like Michael Shannon as Zod.
Oh, he's great.
And I think they were just trying to make it like 9/11. They just like it was like it's middle of the city, and then all these buildings destroyed.
They just take themselves way
they really
too
do
seriously.
Too.
Like, it's just way it's too serious for like a comic book movie. Like,
yeah, brooding.
It's supposed to be fun. Yeah. And like
he has a beard.
His beard, and like Superman lets his dad die in a tornado. It's like, dude, you wouldn't let your
dad
fucking walk
Costner
into a fucking tornado.
He could have grabbed
like
him.
You cannot reveal yourself. It's like, dude,
that was
dad die.
Yeah, build it and they won't come. Yeah,
yeah. Well, can he fly the world backwards? And
well, in the Donner movies, yeah.
Yeah, but they made up like a lot of weird stuff for like Superman in those movies. Like we'll get into like how John Peters' concept of Superman is just a little bit off.
Yeah,
and like some Hollywood's just a little bit off on things. Like in Superman 2, they're fighting in the Fortress of Solitude, and Superman like pulls his S off of his shirt throws it, and it turns into like a trash bag.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Somebody
cellophane. Like, yeah,
he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah,
he's I wrote it down. He can fly at. I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah. Is there a canon? There's a
factoid.
These are true facts
it's
about
up, Doc.
The son
factoid
of
Krypton. Oh, man. So, Superman can fly at Mach 9,350.
Wow.
And light speed in space. So, like, Superman is way so fast that we can't even comprehend how fast Superman is. And the only reason that we know this is because the Flash is like, dude, he is so fast. Like, he is really, really fast. I'm fast. This guy's fast. This is the second fastest guy, you know?
Is there a canonical limit for the Flash as far as like what his top speed can be?
No, Flash is so fast he can go back in time.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
wow.
Flash can go back
I
in
didn't
time.
Know that.
Oh. Yeah. So in the new Batman vs. Superman movie, you didn't see it, but like there's like a thing where like Flash is like, you got to save her, really quick about it's like Lois Lane, she's the one. And then mm-hmm. it like zips out and you're like, what the fuck was that? Nobody would know anything that's going on unless you read comic books.
Yeah.
Which is also dissatisfying to me because I'm just like, now I have to answer everyone's goddamn question after this movie of what that was. Okay. There's no explanation whatsoever of it.
So, like, when they try to do stuff right by the fanboys, they kind of, like, ruin the... Like, they just have... It's distracting to people that don't know anything.
Well, if it's not explained, then, it like, even sometimes fanboys are like, you didn't do that right, and now everyone's confused. Like, I remember when Spider-Man 2 came out, and then, like, Harry was, like, starting to become the Green Goblin.
Right.
And everybody had heard there's a character called the Hobgoblin. Like, oh, it's going to be the Hobgoblin. It's going to be the Hobgoblin. And it's like, no, you don't read comic books. Harry is just the Green Goblin again. And in the next movie, like, man, Hobgoblin was crazy. And it's like, Hobgoblin is a completely different character.
Orange
he's a burglar
cloak.
Who stole technology from the Green Goblin. And you are wrong. And I can't believe you're saying this stupid crap. And then in Iron Man 3, everyone thought Hulkbuster was going to be in it, and it was just like a big tank costume. And then in Age of Ultron, we get the real Hulkbuster that beats the shit out of Hulk, and it's sweet. And it's like, just because you hear things from your stupid idiot friends doesn't mean that they're real. I'm sorry. I just had a little rant.
No, that's good. Rant away.
I'm going to take a breath.
So in this documentary, which is directed by John Schnepp.
Schnepp.
Yeah, there's an N in there.
John Schnepp is the director of this. And we are quickly introduced to a producer by the name of John Peters.
Right. Great laugh for that.
Yeah. He's our childhood of how we know superheroes, like seeing them on screen. Like he's responsible for Batman. He's responsible for Superman. Like he's responsible for Wild Wild West. Like he did a whole bunch of awesome movies.
Right. Yeah.
And for a guy who's been in over 500 street fights.
Yes.
I mean,
how could you
Great
not
line.
Expect to see badass movies by him? You
right.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he produce the 70s one with Donner? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that's why he had the rights to that.
He was in talks with Warner Brothers to do this, and he said he was talking to the head at Warner Brothers, and this is in the documentary, and he's like...
It's Bonaventura?
Is that his name?
Well, the guy that we get the interviews with is Bonaventura.
Yeah.
So he thought that the Warner Brothers owned the rights of Superman, but it wasn't, and John Peters found out, and he bought the properties to Batman and Superman super-duper cheap.
Yeah.
So he owned the rights to them, so he got to be the producer of these movies. And when he's talking to the guy at Warner Brothers, he's like, I own the rights to it. And he's like, no, you don't. And he's like, I'm going to go check. And he's like, oh, crap, I don't own them. And yeah. John Pierce is like, yeah, I own it. And I own you. You're my bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah. That's
hearing that must have been insane.
Yeah.
To be the head of Warner Brothers and be like, oh, my God, we don't.
We got snipes. Oops. Yeah.
It's like when Google found out that they didn't own Google.com. You remember that? When they let that lapse.
Oh, man.
And then the guy who bought it from them said that he wanted, I think it was $10,000 to a charity is all that they ended up paying.
Yeah.
The guy was like, just pay it to a charity.
That's cool.
Google took a real hit on that one.
Oops. Oopsers. But yeah, so they portray John Peters, you know, in not a flattering way in this documentary.
Well, there's like the other voice of Kevin. It's basically there's a little dynamic in the beginning between Kevin Smith and Peters. They're never in the same room. Just them all telling John Schnepp their sides of the story.
Right.
And so Kevin Smith wrote the first draft of Superman Lives. And he did it fanboy service by including as many more DC characters as he possibly could. And like after Superman dies in the movie, he wrote a thing and he says in the movie, he's like, pretty much this is the only reason why I wrote the movie. And so after Superman dies, Batman takes over what's Times Square and there's like a bat symbol. And then Batman starts saying, Metropolis, you have suffered a giant loss today. And it's just like, even hearing Kevin Smith say that just makes me so emotional, because whenever I see Batman stuff, I get so happy. Like it's like I'm just like super emotional about stuff like that. I don't know why. Maybe it's because my dad wasn't around.
that's for a different podcast.
Okay. I wanted to talk about it.
Oh, no, we can explore that. We can explore that.
But you just see like this like Batman and like they recreate what it might have looked like. And you're just like, wow, that is so like awesome. And I don't know, I would have been blown away if I saw that in a movie. Like, yeah. That's crazy.
I think one of the things that this documentary does really well is that it makes you really fucking wish that movie had happened.
Exactly.
You know, like the reenactment stuff they kind of do, the animation they do, and then the archival footage. And obviously the interviews with Burton and, you know, Kevin Smith.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see what they would have done, but I feel like Tim Burton fell off around Planet of the Apes for me.
I liked Big Fish though.
Yeah,
Big Fish is a really good movie, and to me that's his last good movie.
Okay.
Planet of the Apes was dog shit.
Yeah, like that was like when they were like, oh, you shouldn't be doing these kinds of big things anymore. Or like maybe that's not the way to think about it. But I mean, this also reminds me of, did you see the Terry Gilliam, the movie about what him and Johnny Depp trying to make Man of La Mancha?
Yeah, that's great.
Is that called Man of La Mancha? Is that the name of it? That also reminded me of this. I mean, they actually did filming in that.
Yeah, they
did. There was just so many other...
It was just too many
catastrophes. Terry Gilliam is like the perfect example of like a genius who is not moored to budgets or anything like that.
No, yeah, not at all. And then there was freak natural disasters that happened in that the shooting. Like that, they had that rainstorm that came out of nowhere and wiped away production.
Yeah,
literally.
In this movie, it's like the blame for what happens. It gets kind of spread throughout three different reasons, but we'll get to that eventually.
Yeah. Well, so then we see Kevin. So we'll get back to Kevin Smith. He kind of opens it up and talks about he was one of three writers.
Yeah, he's the first writer.
He's the first writer, and then there was a guy named Wesley Strick who took over, and Tim Burton, John Peters and Tim Burton were like, we don't want to do Kevin Smith's movie. So they hired Wesley Strick, and John Peters gave them ridiculous guidelines to follow. Like, I don't want Superman flying. And Tim Burton was like, well, I want this to follow like the dynamics of physics. Yeah. He's like, I don't want Superman floating. I want him like jumping. And it's like, that's not what he does.
Yeah.
Like he flies. That's what he
does.
The reason we want to watch this movie is watch him fly around and do cool shit.
Right.
And John Peters was like, well, I just think it looks fake when he flies. Yeah. Like, it looks fake when he flies. Cause nobody fucking fly. He can just jump and fly. Like you watch it in amazement. Even if you can like see a little bit of green screen or maybe the wind's not hitting as hard as it would going that fast, but you suspend your disbelief because like he is flying with no wings. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then let's if you were to believe Kevin Smith, he says John Peters says no flying, no suit, and a giant spider has to be in the third act.
Right.
So
he only copped to the third one.
Right.
That's the only thing he admitted. Which is
he's like, well, yeah, no, none of those, but the spider, yes. What's the
spider got
called?
In 500 street fights?
It's called the Targaryen snare beast.
Yeah.
And it's said several times throughout the thing. It's like, you know, spiders are really like scary. They're like primal. And so Kevin Smith's like, I went ahead and named it a Targaryen snare beast. And then the director's like, that's a throwback to Hawk.
Yeah.
Hawkman. I was like, okay, I don't know that.
I mean.
I'm not a Hawkman guy.
It seems, it's almost like they kind of needed a scapegoat in this documentary, so they picked John Peters.
I think, he has the most power next to the guy at Warner Brothers.
And he seems goofy, because, I mean, they portray him as a little goofy, and they do talk, for some reason, they bring up the fact that he was a hairdresser, which doesn't really matter in this, but I think they use it to kind of portray him as kind of goofy and like...
Yeah, and he was married to Barbara Streisand?
Barbara Streisand's hairdresser.
No, I think he ended up...
Oh!
Didn't they say... He married.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Also,
got it.
That's how he ended up being a producer,
right?
Like he.
That's how Hollywood works,
baby.
It's
like Warren Beatty and Shampoo, or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, Peters does seem like the biggest. Like he's abusing writers, which are like, granted, it's really easy to abuse like people that are just drawing all the time.
Yeah,
like it's like a power trip thing.
I mean, to be honest, between you guys and our thousands of listeners. Our hundreds or tens of listeners. I've never understood how Kevin Smith has had a career in Hollywood.
Never been a big fan.
All his movies I thought
sucked. Are you going to defend him right now?
I'm not going to.
You can. You may, Bert.
Defend Kevin Smith for everything he's accomplished and everything he's done. Like, he's pretty legit, dude. Like, and he is a good guy. Like, he will come and do your podcast. Like, he's that cool of a guy. I'm not kidding.
Kevin Smith, come
on. We actually really like him.
I forgot to mention I love Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith will literally come do your podcast. And all you have to do is say thank you and be super appreciative and nice. He will come and do it. Like, he made my, like, childhood awesome. Like, Mallrats was, like, my favorite movie. Like, I rented that from the video store all the time when I was a kid. And I recently watched it, and I was like, what was I thinking? But, like, you can identify with it because, like, Stan Lee's in it, and everything's reverted back to, like, Spider-Man or Fantastic Four, like, Superman. And, like, they even address it kind of in this movie. It's like, well, how would Lois Lane be able to take Clark Kent's load, and like, would the baby punch out of him? It's said in the documentary.
Yeah,
they say remember that.
And they talk about that in Mallrats too, and they're like, you know, he's asking Stan Lee, like, how big Reed Richards' dick can get, because he's Mr. Fantastic, and he's like, that's comic book code. We never really talked about that, you know? And like, I think, like, some of that stuff was never really talked about in movies before, and nerds never really had that big of a voice before Kevin Smith came along.
Interesting.
So you can look at it as, like, he made Cop Out, or you can look at it as, like, he paved the way for, like, a lot of really cool things to be done.
I mean, he has had that voice. And you know, full disclosure, I did spend an afternoon with Kevin Smith in 1995. I went to a premiere of the movie Kids with Kevin Smith.
With him?
In New York City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there more to this story?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there is.
This, every time I hang out with Paco,
it's like, Pandora, and then I was at Altamont.
I was at the CMJ conference.
Oh, yeah.
In New York City, and I went to the first screening of Clerks.
Oh, okay.
And
95. Okay.
I asked Kevin Smith a question, because I was a budding filmmaker, and there were not a lot of people there. I actually have a picture of me and Kevin Smith at the screening of Clerks, and afterwards he was like, I'm going to go see Kids. Do you want to come with me? And I said, yes.
Yeah,
so
great.
That's it.
And, I mean, you watched an original cut of Clerks, too,
I watched the actual first cut.
So
outside of Sundance. Mm-hmm. It had just been at Sundance where six people went to see it, and one of them was a distributor who liked it, and so the next showing was at the CMJ conference in New York City, so I went to that.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't like that movie?
I did not care for it.
You didn't even think it was funny or particular?
Not really.
Or
it was
new?
Not quite my... No. I mean, I thought it was good. I think it's his best movie of all of them.
Like, Paco?
Yeah.
I want you to say something nice right now.
Okay? I
could be listening.
I'm getting negative, and I want
I like avocados.
Positive.
Oh, I really enjoy a good avocado. I thought Clerks was okay. I'm opinionated about my movies. I started a podcast about documentaries. We know this.
Did you? Where am I? Did you see Dogma?
Yes.
Oh God.
And you didn't like it?
Oh no, I didn't.
You hated
like
it too?
No, sorry, like Kevin. Dogma. We still want you on our podcast.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. No,
no. Chasing Amy.
He's super cool. No, he's super cool. If people don't like his movies, like he's like.
I do think
like
he's a
comedy.
Great guy.
Like it's subjective. Like we all know this. Like things that I say and things that you say aren't funny sometimes.
Right.
And like we know this when the crowd doesn't laugh at us.
Yes.
And like there'll be one person in the back laughing their ass off. You know, because comedy is subjective, just like movies are. You know,
I appreciate Kevin Smith for what he's done. I'm just not a huge fan. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did spend the day together.
How diverse his career is. Like he did a bunch of comics writing. You know,
which
makes sense. That he's all into these universes, which I guess Dogma is sort of like, it's all about that universe.
He wrote Daredevil, I think.
Which is not good, also. That Daredevil with Ben Affleck?
Right.
Yeah. He wrote that movie, and he's in it.
No, he didn't write that movie.
He's like the Foggy in it, right? He didn't write it?
Did he write Daredevil?
He wrote Daredevil, the comic book.
Yeah, he wrote the comic book.
He's in Daredevil, the movie.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like Matt Murdock's like assistant.
Right when they start fighting on a seesaw, I turn it off.
It's fucking real bad.
I can't fucking believe that.
It's real bad.
But dude, that new Marvel Daredevil series is amazing. And the second season is basically Daredevil versus the Punisher. I was like, what? It's unbelievable. And like Luke Cage is in it, and it's just like they have like their own Netflix Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then they have
right
their own
there's that
TV
thing, yeah.
show on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has Ghost Rider in it now, and it's
it
awesome.
Does?
Yeah,
okay.
And he's like this awesome Latino guy. They did this awesome Marvel Now run a few years back, and he drives like this badass Camaro with flame tires, and his head's on fire, and he straight up murders people.
Wow!
Like the police officer's like his head was ripped out with his spine, and I'm just watching it going, yes, like this is real awesome.
Now, are you watching all those like WB, whatever those are? They're like the Arrow and Flash and like and Supergirl. That's like
Supergirl is
that
awesome.
It? I've heard good things about Supergirl.
There's DC Heroes of Tomorrow, and that's like a super team show. I haven't watched that one. I love Supergirl. The first season was amazing, and they did it such good justice, and like the CGI in it is brilliant. It doesn't look half-assed, and I watched the first four seasons of Arrow, and I loved it, but then it just kind of turn into like a Dawson's Creek superhero show where it's just like, dude, Ollie, you have a family. Ollie, where were you last night?
Oh,
Ollie, we need you. Ollie, this is family. Yeah. Ollie, this city needs you. And I'm just like, I can't deal with
this. I didn't
this
even
anymore.
Really know his character from the comics at all. Green Arrow, just like he had that weird, like, I'm like, who, he's got that weird mustache and shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing about what they did with Arrow is sneaky, and not a lot of people know this, is they wanted to do a Batman show, and they couldn't. For some reason do a Batman show. So they did Arrow, and Arrow literally fights all of Batman's like B villains. Like he fights Deadshot, like the guy that Will Smith was in Suicide Squad. He fights the Suicide Squad in it. Like Ollie fights the Suicide Squad in this. So it's like all of Batman's like minor villains. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
I watched the first Flash on a plane just because it's like, what else am I gonna watch? And I'm like, this looks like John Mulaney is a Flash. It's very confusing.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm new in town. Like, what the fuck is going on? Why is John Mulaney the Flash right now?
It was one of those jobs where I was just like, fuck it, write your dream movie. You know what I'm saying? It's the dream job. Go crazy, because whoever's going to direct is going to change anything they don't like anyway. I had the Eradicator in there. I had Cyborg Superman. Lex Luthor was in there. Doomsday was in there. Brainiac was the villain. It was packed.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The director, John Schnepp, talks to so many
people. Oh, yeah. He got good access. Yeah.
He got really good access to people. Yeah.
Burton, like, that's like a hard interview, I think, in general, for anyone.
Yeah.
He wears his sunglasses in his house.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so uncomfortable.
I know.
And have you seen this video where Jesse Elias plays Tim Burton?
Oh, God, I bet no.
It's I'll show it to you. I don't think it's online anywhere, but I have it. I'll show it to you guys later.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it was just dead on. You can just tell from Tim Burton how he is still so sad this movie didn't happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either that or he is a severely depressed person.
Probably a little bit of both.
I think he has like John Peters is like his high school bully, is I think in his mind is what happens.
Well, I mean, you know, artistic types and producers have historically not gotten along in Hollywood. Lots of great movies didn't get made because a producer had one artistic idea and the real creative genius was just like, fuck, I can't work with you.
Like Burton is like, I live in England, so I don't have to deal with Hollywood.
Well, he said he went to
He shot Batman in England.
So that he didn't have to deal with... Yeah, that's insane.
It's like Kubrick,
Yeah, exactly.
Well, So, when Batman was announced, and you might remember this.
In the 80s?
When the Burton movie was announced and that Michael Keaton was announced as Batman, were you pissed off about it?
No.
Do you know people that were?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, if
that was big.
Like, if the internet existed back then, it would have Ghostbustered 2016.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it would have just.
Probably even more. There were people, because I still have a Michael Keaton Batman t-shirt that I got from, it was a giveaway when I went to see that at the theater. Yeah. I still have it. It doesn't quite fit anymore. But I remember people being pissed that I would wear it.
Comic book fans? Are they comic book fans?
Just nerds.
Yeah, so like everyone's like, we don't want Mr. Mom being Batman. Right.
Well, he was a comedian.
He was Beetlejuice, too.
He was
which is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, maybe the best Burton movie ever. Yeah. But people just thought he was a comedian. Like, he should not have been in that movie, you know?
So I think it's aged well, though. I think it stands.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great, like, right when the trailer for Batman dropped, people were on board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the trailer was so hot that people would call the movie theater, ask what time a movie's starting, and then ask if the Batman trailer is playing. And people would pay the money to see the movie
and then
just to see the trailer and leave.
Yeah.
And
they would go into the next movie theater, watch the Batman trailer again.
That's
I'm not
amazing.
Kidding.
That was
and
a
like,
legit
people were
phenomenon,
like, this is going to be a good movie.
Yeah. And he didn't disappoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's still my favorite Batman.
Well, like,
oh, yeah.
Think about all of that movie was like in the ether of the time. It was a zeitgeist movie. I mean, like, the fact that Prince album, of, like, Bat Dance was a hit at the same time.
Yeah,
that shows how big of a thing it was.
Yeah.
Because that would not have held water on its own, I don't think. Like a 20 minute Bat Dance.
Who's the worst Batman, Val? Was Val the worst?
No, George Clooney. Hands down. He's apologized several times for it.
Because I like Val Kilmer as...
He did a great job.
He did. He did as good as you could do.
Joel Schumacher is the reason...
this movie
that,
didn't get
that Death of Superman Returns was made because Superman... Sorry. Death of Superman Lives. Superman Lives was pretty much ruined because Joel Schumacher...
Ruined.
Made Batman and Robin.
Which is a god awful movie. Yeah,
yeah,
it is super bad, and it's completely laughable. But the thing that stands out from that movie to the Burton one is the Mr. Freeze, George Clooney, kind of their suits,
the puns,
like
the
suits that they made for them were gorgeous,
right.
Except for the nipples on the bat suits, super weird.
It's a little sexy. It's a little too sexy.
But Joel Schumacher wanted to. And he's admitted it, gay up and sexualized Batman.
Huh.
Like, he said it.
Interesting.
And he didn't give a shit. He wanted to make the movie he wanted to.
Yeah.
Which single-handedly ruined superhero movies for a long time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty much panned.
Yeah.
Yeah, by everybody.
Bert, have you seen the Jodorowsky's Dune? Have you seen that movie?
What is it called?
It's called Jodorowsky's Dune. It's basically analogous to this movie. It's about a movie that never got made. You know, you've seen David Lynch's Dune, the original Dune?
A long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, there was going to be made by the guy who made Holy Mountain and all these crazy psychedelic 70s movies. So, it was also, like, basically a movie that's put together a bunch of the character designs and set designs and kind of edited
and
together.
Also
to
Giger,
and Giger
is prevalent in both of these docs.
Yeah, Giger is a big influence in all the character designs.
You know, it's you know what's weird is last week I had a midnight breakfast with a bunch of comedians and a set designer that worked on Aliens.
Aliens, the second one with Paul,
Well, the one that Giger was a part of.
That's the first one, yeah.
First one,
yeah.
Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really wild because he started talking about Giger, and I was like, he's like, oh, yeah, I met him. I worked with him. I asked him about Yodorovsky's Dune.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, I don't have any direct connection to Giger, but I worked for Jello Biafra, and, like, that's the album art that got them in trouble in the first place was the Giger painting.
Oh, really?
It's just you have to. I'll show it to you sometime.
Okay.
It basically got like considered a profanity, and they got raided by the FBI.
So, oh, wow. Yeah.
That's another story. So where are we at with this one? Yeah, we're just talking about all the characters. It sort of goes chronologically according to like Kevin Smith, then the second writer Strick.
So yeah, and then Tim Burton just straight up said he didn't like Kevin Smith's script and fired him.
Right.
Yeah, and had to keep certain elements, I guess, like the spider and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, everything that John Peters wanted.
Right. One of my favorite things that Kevin Smith says is he's like, it's the fortress of solitude. Yeah. There's not going to be people there.
The polar bears. The polar bears.
Yeah, the polar bears.
Superman.
Has polar bears.
Somehow, or Brainiac has to fight polar bears.
Yeah.
This guy's intergalactic.
Yeah.
Smartest being in the world.
Actually, I don't know much about Brainiac. Can you tell us what basically Brainiac's character arc is?
I don't know too much about Brainiac.
Is he from Krypton?
I can't tell you. I'm not. I've watched a couple of DC. DC makes the best cartoon movies.
Yeah.
They're awesome. Like, 90% of them are hands down sweet. The Killing Joke one that recently came out was dog shit. But DC makes one, and I watched one with Brainiac, and I was like, oh, this is really awesome. Mm-hmm. And this is a formidable foe. Like, he's always one step ahead of Superman, and he's not like strong, but he's smart, and so he can fight Superman with his like
That's
brain
good.
And
yeah.
his and he's like created all these like drones and things like that are hard for Superman to defeat.
Mm-hmm. That's good, because, yeah, he is so powerful that you need to come at him with either someone who's smarter than him or someone who's more just beastly powerful than him.
If the polar bears had Krypton around their necks, then it would be or if the polar bears knew magic, because I don't know if you guys know this.
Oh, yeah, Mixoplex.
Magic and Krypton are the only two things that kill Superman.
No, what?
Yeah.
Magic.
He is green, vulnerable to magic.
Green kryptonite too, right?
All kryptonite.
All the kryptonites, because I thought yellow makes it go random or something like
Maybe.
That.
Maybe I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, the different colors
of
kryptonite.
These are deep
different
cuts.
Things.
Yeah.
So magic.
Magic. So if you
magic.
Pull,
that makes sense.
If you wave a magic wand and you, if you pull a rabbit out of a hat in front of Superman, he'll die.
Like a card trick gone awry.
Yeah. If like
is
basically David Blaine versus Superman.
Is this your card?
Yeah, I like that.
So, you know, it's also funny about this doc is, like, the first half, you're kind of like, all right, well, you know, this is interesting, and it's, like, historic, and but then they start introducing the suit.
Oh, yeah, there's so much time dedicated to this goddamn suit.
It's amazing.
Like, Bryan Singer, on set of Superman Returns, was pulling out a photograph of Nicolas Cage looking like he was wasted or high on drugs in the Superman suit, which they show in the documentary. He just was blinking. Like, he was just enjoying wearing a Superman suit that he looked completely out of place in.
But with like a mullet wig.
God, he just looked so ridiculous
so bad.
In it. Like, the suit in 98 it was really cool, I guess. But to me, it's just a shiny piece of shit. Like,
it's shiny.
It looks like his head is photoshopped on a muscle man's body. It just doesn't look right.
It looks very strange.
No, and he looks emaciated. Like, Nicolas Cage is just so thin in the face.
He used to be really skinny.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have the jawline for a Superman. Yeah. Like, he looks like a guy from, like, Mumford & Sons that they threw on a plastic suit on.
So I put the suit on, wear it? Okay.
Yeah.
It was like ribbed and riddled with like all these like LED lights and lasers.
Yeah, like all shit that didn't make sense. It's like, even the plot is like the suit is regenerating him. I'm like, These lights don't really make sense at all.
Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Superman's suit is the most gaudy, awful looking superhero suit next to like Wolverine's yellow suit. They're, nobody in their right mind would wear something like that. Nobody.
Yellow
it just looks so stupid.
It does look a little dumb. And like,
it doesn't hold up.
No, and the outer underwear problem that they seem to have.
That they kept for Superman Returns.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because they had they were trying to stick to Donner's version of it, I think.
Yeah, and the suit gets the second half of this doc, the suit is pretty prominent involved. And like the genius is the creative geniuses that they went to in order to build this thing.
Yeah.
It's really amazing the stuff that that they show.
They had to pay all those people, even though the movie didn't get made. Right?
Do you remember how much money pre-production was for this
12
movie?
Million?
$10 to $12 million dollars.
Before?
They spent on nothing.
Yeah.
Basically to make this documentary.
Models, right. Yeah. That's like, it's
like 10 to
yeah.
Like, that's so much money.
That's so much money. Yeah. And all the testing that they did and all the footage.
That's kind of interesting.
I think it's really interesting, yeah.
Like, just A and B-ing how a cape looks in the light.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Or like, what texture does this look
what
like?
What color of, what texture, what color, what kind of wind? Yeah.
I really love Burton's drawings because I always love Burton's drawings.
Yeah.
Burton's drawings, like, if they had just made that. It would be so weird. Just like his drawings alone are just so odd. Like he draws Superman as like a sad alien boy, as like a. They even refer to him as like Edward Superhands or
Supermans.
Something.
Supermans, yeah, Edward Supermans, Supermans.
Which is like
that
it's
drawing
accurate.
Looked awesome.
Yeah,
and the
I liked
one
it.
That the guy drew next to it looked rad. Like it was the all black. I love that. Like when the X-Men movies came out and they were just wearing like their black leather suits, I was like, this is fine with me. Like,
also,
this is the way they would dress.
They wanted Chris Walken as Brainiac.
Yes.
That I can't think of nothing
better. All right, do your Christopher Walken impression.
No, I don't have one.
guys, come on. I'm smart. I got a big head.
Oh, then they
Brainiac.
They show
guys.
Kevin
and
Spacey's impression. It was like,
well,
I mean,
Walken.
Yeah, his was weird, huh? It was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable. Yeah.
I've seen him do it better than that.
Yeah.
He can do it better than that.
He did it on Failing Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it on Fallon Good. You know, I watch that show like all the time. I'm a big Fallon fan. I mean, the game show.
They choose that clip of Walken in that terrible Burton movie, Headless Horseman, the Sleepy Hollow.
Oh,
one.
Sleepy Hollow.
That was
no
good. But, like, Walken was great in it.
Yeah.
How did Tim Burton fuck up?
This is another good
movie,
question.
Dude.
Yeah.
What happened?
Put that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your wheelhouse.
It is your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Him and Gilliam have kind of started going the same direction.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's just at some point they get to a point where they don't want to listen to any notes or they don't want to deal with producers.
Right.
And things get fucked up.
And like Burton now, because he's just like, he can just do everything CGI. Like those Alice in Wonderland movies are garbage.
Yeah.
But
I love them. I don't know what.
But if you said like
Willy Wonka,
early 90s, I would say like Terry Gilliam. And Tim Burton, my favorite directors.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Edward
Tim
Scissorhands.
Tim Burton is one of your favorite directors?
In the 90s, I would have said
in
yes.
That oh, time
yeah,
period.
I mean, like,
yeah.
In all time, like, there were some of those movies are great.
Beetlejuice
is amazing. Big Pee Wee's.
So
Pee Wee's great. That Batman.
Wait, who did he want as Beetlejuice in the doc he says?
Oh, right.
Yeah, black guy.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah.
Which is kind of, maybe that's a little bit of what he's doing.
That's kind of amazing.
Sammy Davis Jr. wearing white face?
The fact that also, think about that Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice got made as a studio movie, which makes
no sense. No, I know.
If you look, I downloaded the script for Beetlejuice. Cause I'm like, how did this happen?
Who wrote it?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But it was just such a weird idea altogether.
Yeah.
And like that was a studio movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't either.
Yeah. I have to bring up something that this wasn't actually brought up in the documentary that I just thought of.
Okay.
How awesome would Danny Elfman's Superman score have been?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I just saw him the other night. He did Nightmare Before Christmas
live. With an orchestra?
Yeah.
Where was that?
Blow Hollywood away.
Bowl.
Hollywood Bowl, man.
Oh, no
it was
way.
Unreal. I was like, maybe he'll do Batman. Maybe he'll do Batman. Maybe he'll do Batman. He didn't do Batman.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
But like, his score for Batman is amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a genius.
It's like one of my favorite soundtracks. And he did like Nightmare Before Christmas, which is another one of my favorite soundtracks. You know, like his scores are so...
I like Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
Oingo Boingo is, he did an Oingo Boingo song the other night. Yeah. At the end, he did
one. He did?
And I was
Dead Man's Party for Halloween?
Shit.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
That's the one he did. Yeah. It's like 6 or 7 minutes long or something. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The
orchestra was behind it too.
Yeah, the Donner Superman song is also
John Williams. I feel
like, it's John Williams did that. Yeah, I feel like those are like all those John Williams things. Did John Williams, was there a recent John Williams thing too in L.A.?
Yeah, I went to that.
You went to that. Okay.
Yeah. I went to both of them.
You're going to all these soundtrack things.
I got so drunk at John Williams orchestra concert. I was like so out of place. That's like, people were like clapping lightly, and I'm like, that fucking rule!
It's Close Encounters or something, yeah.
That's funny.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, like all the... Yeah, you're right. Elfman would have been the soundtrack for that. I don't know. Nicolas Cage, I do now... Knowing Nicolas Cage now, I'm like, this was a weird choice. This is a very weird choice.
So bizarre.
But who would... I mean, think of who was around in the late 90s. Who would have done that?
Seinfeld
would be good. Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. Would Affleck, Ben Affleck, maybe? I mean, he was pretty hot
young,
then.
Though.
He was young, but yeah.
I guess in 98, that's after what Good Will Hunting was, 97?
Do you know he's played Superman before? He was the 1950s
Christopher Reeves.
In a bio? A bio of that
George
guy?
Reeves.
George Reeves in a movie.
Oh, yeah. Like a HBO movie or something.
It wasn't Mulholland
like
Drive, but it was like one of those.
Oh,
like
one of those.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like
movies. LA Confidential? LA Confidential?
No.
Because that's the only one I think of when I think of.
I can't remember the name of it, but Ben Affleck has played Daredevil, Superman, and Batman.
Oh, yeah, wow. That is pretty nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird. Both the iconic Supermans died tragically.
Right.
Which was really wild. The original one committed suicide. Mm-hmm. The second one
paralysis. And then eventual, I think, kidney failure or something.
That's what the movie's about, is did he commit suicide? It's unsolved mystery.
Mm.
That's what that whole movie's about.
Yeah.
The curse of Superman.
Curse of Superman lives.
Yeah, because Chris Farley was supposed to play Superman. No, joke.
Chris Farley was supposed to play Superman.
What villain could he have played?
Yeah. But I will say, though,
Bob,
in a side thing is the curse of the Fatty Arbuckle story, because he actually was supposed to play Fatty Arbuckle. So was Belushi. So was John Candy.
Okay, I didn't know this.
Yeah. And then,
Bobby Moynihan?
The people that they have attached to that have kind of died tragically, which is weird.
Which is also all Fatty people Arbuckle. That are kind of obese. So they're, but all drugs, usually, is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. And it's... Is anyone going to make a Fatty Arbuckle movie?
Not now.
They made a Garfield movie with John Arbuckle in it.
That's true. That's a good point.
Got made.
That's
two of them.
That's why he's named John Arbuckle. It's for Fatty Arbuckle.
Yeah. Did you ever hear Neil Hamburger's joke about Garfield?
No.
And why did Bill Murray submerge himself for 2 weeks in toxic waste?
Why?
Well... It was to prepare for his movie and Garfield 2.
Oh, God.
That's a joke.
Oh, I remember this. God, I don't remember the name of the movie now. I remember the comic who told this joke. I'm sure he doesn't do it anymore. What's that Jim Carrey movie where he says yes to everything?
Yes, man.
The Penguin one?
No, that's Mr. Popper's Penguin.
Well, that was a joke.
It's
Sean Perlman's joke. I remember hearing that a couple years ago, whenever that movie was out.
Yeah. Like, no, that's incorrect.
No, no, sir. Yeah, so we get into the second half of the doc. You get into a lot about the suit and the people that made it and all the money they spent with the production company.
And you see Nicolas Cage wearing this Superman outfit.
In a weird motel or something, or an office.
That's the part that I love the most is... Nicolas Cage and Tim Burton are having open discussions about what they kind of want Clark Kent to be and what they feel Superman should be. And like they're improvising.
They want a weird Clark Kent. They want like a
Mickey Mouse shirt.
Yeah.
It's like so weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Total geek.
But like there's a conversation where Nicolas Cage is like talking about the cape and Tim Burton's like, it should be its own entity. And he's like, my cape was given to me by my father, who was a scholar and a documentarian on the planet Krypton. You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he's
like,
character.
You're an idiot. Like, this is asinine. But like, it's cool that they captured all of that on camera.
Yeah,
like,
all the tests.
Unreal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know. It's pretty cool that you get to see it, and you get to see how awkward he looks in the suit.
His little neck poking out of this giant muscle suit. It's so weird. like they photoshopped his head on really, Glacier.
Yeah. I don't like the long hair look for Superman either.
So that just gross.
Also, the same thing with like the beard Superman. Like, I'm like, how does he cut the beard?
Yeah,
that's just, I have a theory.
How?
You know, because you Man of Steel, he's got the beard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like obviously razors aren't going to work,
right?
Because it's
what's Superman. Your theory?
Heat vision in a mirror.
Oh, look at what George just did.
Okay,
somebody did something.
You can freeze it off too. You can freeze it off.
Could freeze it.
Yeah.
You could probably. God, how is Superman not a pervert? If I had X-ray vision, dude.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he has X-ray vision.
He's such a pervert. He's too good. He's too of a goody-goody usually in most things until this recent dark Superman.
And like, if you watch Superman 1, she's like, "What color lingerie am I wearing?" or whatever, and he's like, "This and that," and she's like, "Can you see me naked?" He's like, "No, your lingerie must be lead-based," and I'm like, "Take it off." Why are you wearing lead-based lingerie? Oh, my God.
Lead-based. Is it from the 1800s?
Yeah, lead-based. Like, that's what happened to
Margot Kidder. Margot Kidder was eating lead.
You know, I think this, you had an idea, which this now, seeing you like this, the kind of mismatched kind of... Remember we were talking about more wilder?
Well, we were talking about having like a Mickey Mouse cheek.
So, Bert, you have an anecdote where you got to meet the director.
I did.
Of this documentary.
Really, really quick. I met him really quick at Long Beach Comic Con 2016. He had a booth set up, and I went over, and I just was like, hey, I'm going to be on this podcast, and... Da da da, and my best friend Eric was with me, and he was like, "So, John Peters has been in 5,000 street fights," and the director started laughing. He's like, "500 street fights," and he's like, "Yeah, and I bet he won every single one of them." And then I asked him, "What did I ask him?" My mind is drawn a blank for some reason. I asked him if John Peters was as weird and crazy.
Mm.
As you made him out to be in the documentary. And he gave me a look like, what? And I was like, come on. Like, what? Come on. Everybody made him a scapegoat, you know? And he's like, no, he's a really nice guy. And I was like, wow, that's good to know. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, that he's not like, yeah, he's a piece of shit or whatever. Like,
right.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he takes that weird phone call during the middle of the interview.
No. Like, why did he show that?
Because
he wanted to make him look stupid.
Exactly.
Like, come on,
that is a choice.
Like, Kevin Smith drops a line in the documentary, and this is kind of offensive, but he says he doesn't want the Superman suit because it looks a little bit faggy.
Right.
And if that's not trying to make John Peters look like an a-hole, then I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't... I mean, it's an interesting fact, but it's kind of like,
right.
We need to know that. Like, I don't know. If you're not trying to make him look like he's a little off his rocker, then.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he obviously is very rich.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about his multiple homes.
Yeah. Which one are we going to today? Yeah.
I talked to a friend of mine. It turns out, as I was watching the credits for this, a friend of mine was credited as assistant editor on this movie. Mm-hmm. So my old bandmate, Vice Cooler, the guy who does Haunts of L.A., we were talking about him. I asked him about it. He's like out of the country, but I just asked him on Facebook about it. He said like they apparently had access to all of Tim Burton's archives, but just like for like a limited period of time. Like they had a couple hours to be like, he was just like, go ahead, like scan or take photos of whatever you want
out
of the archives in London. And so it was just like they couldn't get everything, but they had open access. It just was like time limited.
Wow.
Do you know how they got the footage of Nicolas Cage and Tim Burton? Like, did Tim Burton give them that?
I'm going to assume that's the case because he had access to all those archives.
Yeah.
And this was made, my friend said he was working on it for about 3 years.
Oh, really?
Right up to the end. And he said that John Peters was the last interview they got.
Yeah. Oh.
He's like 11th hour interview.
It seems like that because there's like cutaways of like them like
responding to
and responding and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But like the director of this movie just went to Comic-Con or some Comic-Con and was like, hey, you had something to do with Superman Returns. Come talk to me for 20 minutes.
I think he's hooked up to stuff because he's an Adult Swim guy and he worked on Metalocalypse is what I saw.
John Schnepp
from IMDb. He's one of the... And he worked on Aqua Teen Hunger Force and the Space Ghosts back in the day.
Oh, wow.
So he's just an old school like animation guy, which makes sense. There's a heavy emphasis on production design and like access to all, he knows who all the people they're doing all the production design drawing stuff.
Yeah, he talks to a lot of them.
Yeah. So, and the, a lot of those people, he talks to the guy who was like Tim Burton's classmate at CalArts.
Oh, right.
That guy's, and he's worked with him on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
His name I'm blanking on. Yeah, so there's that. It's heavily about that stuff.
Yes,
I think
is.
If that's your interest, then you can get a lot of that. Yeah, seeing Nicolas Cage walking around with it, it's like I still don't know whether I think it's a good idea or not. You know?
But you want to see it.
I still want to see it.
The thing
of
is,
course.
Like, it looks so dumb, but you're like, could he pull it off? Because Keaton pulled it off.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing to think that you could spend that much money and just not just pull the trigger and just make the fucking
exactly. Film. And it was because and Wild Wild West was later, right? That's right. It came later.
So
John
what
Peterson
happened
Wild West
is,
later.
I guess, is it? It's Sony, right?
It's Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers had a whole bunch of flops at that time. Like a whole bunch of their movies tanked and did bad, and they just had seen the Batman movies that were recently put out, and
that Joel Schumacher did.
The Joel Schumacher ones really, I think, in my opinion, axed it. I think that's honest to God what happened is like people hate these movies.
Right.
And like the first Batman Forever like was fine. Like it's just super campy. And then the second one was just a kind of campiness that could only have come from the 70s of Batman show.
Right.
You know, and so you're just watching it like Poison Ivy is just being like Catwoman-esque from like the 70s and like all Arnold Schwarzenegger does are like freeze puns and like Bane's like converted to some like mongoloid idiot like brute and that's like not at all who his character is. Like he broke Batman's back. Like he figured out how to get Batman with just his like psychotic strength that he has, you know, and it's just like, come on, man. And like they're supposed to be ice skating, but they're obviously wearing roller skates. Like it's so obvious. It was like the only thing that could have made that opening sequence in Batman and Robin worse is if when they punched bat guys, it said pow.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom.
Kablam.
Yeah, like that's the only thing that could have made it even worse.
That's funny. And you know, I think for me, one of the lines that stood out the most for me in this documentary is when Kevin Smith says they never asked the comic book guys to write it or to help out, which just seems so short-sighted. It's like the first people you'd go to would be the people that do that on a daily
That's
fucking
his
basis.
Bone to pick, yeah.
I mean, when your executive producer says, I want his cape to be detachable so he can throw it at bad guys, it's like, no, he can fly like fast as the speed of light and punch a dude. He can throw a cape and then beat the cape after he hits the bad guy. Like you don't know your character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like that's the thing. It's like what you're saying is like the comic book guys would be like, oh no, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, polar bears, what are you thinking?
Why does he need guards?
He doesn't. Yeah. Nobody's up there. Nobody even knows it's there.
Yeah.
You know? And like, there's like so many like disconnections that you hear John Peters say about Superman, who I don't even know all of his stuff, but I know enough to be like, what you're saying is bullshit right now and it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not how Superman should be portrayed.
I feel like I know most of Superman's, like, I know as much about Superman as I do about Dracula, right? Like, there's like the basics.
Yeah.
Like, well, like, Dracula sometimes busts out a power you don't know about. Like, I'm like, oh, you can turn into fog? Okay, that's one decision. And Superman's kind of got those for everything.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he can get shot in the chest. Doesn't fucking matter.
I mean, it's just also like he could probably do this shit like the Flash does, where you vibrate your molecules to phase through like solid matter and things like that.
Oh, Superman can do that.
Yeah.
He did it in the actual 50s show. He vibrated through a building or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
So it's like
you can
it's
just
like
punch through it though, Superman.
Yeah. He doesn't need to be sneaky. He can just be like just brute strength. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, to showcase the power where he can vibrate through a wall and get in and like save somebody instead of like him punching through it. Cause we all know he can punch through it. We all know he has heat vision. Mm-hmm. We all know like all these things, like seeing him vibrate through like solid matter is actually kind of cool.
That would be
a
cool thing to see.
But
yeah.
Seeing him through a cape is stupid.
Yeah.
It's
a
dumb idea and it's a waste of people's time, CGI, like special effects.
Like
stupid.
Taking the S off and using it as like a throwing weapon. I'm like that. You don't need,
as
Superman
a boomerang.
Doesn't need it.
Stupid.
He can clip one of his nails and do that. You
know? Exactly. Yeah. Or he can shoot lasers out of his fucking eyes, which looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can blow people like miles away. Like, so you know anything?
Yeah, you know the plot line of the Death of Superman. I do not know the plot line of Death of Superman. It is Doomsday. It's Doomsday.
So
in basically, this, Bane to being the Bane to him.
Yeah. So Brainiac, I from what I remember in the comic books that I read as a kid,
20 years ago. So like, yeah.
But I mean, I've recently read them, yeah. And they made a really good comic book animated film of Death of Superman, mm-hmm. which was really pretty closely true to the comic books. So like, it's a year long thing where like all the superheroes are trying to beat Doomsday, and nobody can do it. He just beats the shit out of everybody. He just annihilates everywhere he goes. He can jump miles and miles and miles.
Where, yeah.
And like, he's undefeatable, and like Superman and him are fighting, and he's just a menace to the world. And he and Superman fight, and they both exchange like one violent blow after another, and finally just both of them hit each other so hard that Superman dies and Doomsday dies.
Oh, they both die.
They both die, okay. At the same time, and then Superman's dead, and then he goes into like a rejuvenation thing, and like a year later Superman's back, and I can't remember what happened to Doomsday. I think he's just thrown out in outer space. I can't really remember.
Yeah, they can't just throw him in those weird mirrors that they use in Superman 2. Yeah, the, like, kind of, that'll hold you. These were two mirrors that we threw out.
Dimension? Yeah. Dimension zero?
Something. Yeah, those. The I forgot about the mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so then at the end, we see the director, John Schnepp, and Tim Burton commiserating over the fact that this.
And he's so sad still. Like, Tim Burton is so sad.
I think he takes everything to heart.
Seems
though.
Like he probably would.
He takes everything to heart.
He still really wants to make it.
But yeah, like, you can tell he's like pretty obvious. Yeah.
Like, and like going back to like why that movie wasn't made is because like the Joel Schumacher stuff. I was like, you have seen what Batman and Batman Returns, the $1 billion franchise. Like, Jack Nicholson made the most money of any actor ever off simply the franchise rights that he got for playing the Joker. Like, he's so rich forever from that. And like, he got like some ridiculous amount of like the toy sales and everything.
Oh, really?
And he still gets
merch.
It.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So he did like the George Lucas thing. He's like, I'm going to make this movie, but all the franchise rights are mine. Like, you can have the movie. The franchise stuff is mine, you know? So like, whenever any Star Wars movie comes out, all the toys come out and they're available 6 months before the movie comes out, and you don't even know who the characters are, but you buy them anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So people were buying up all the Batman stuff, and Jack Nicholson got super rich off of it, and like, so did everybody else. And it's like, if you're going to do a Batman Returns movie, you know that those movies are going to kill because Tim Burton's the guy to direct it.
Yeah.
Not Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so Warner
Not
Brothers.
Bryan Singer.
Yeah. Well, Bryan Singer, okay, so the Bryan Singer did the first two X-Men.
He did the first two X-Men movies and the last two X-Men movies.
Okay, yeah, because the one in the Brett Ratner one is the one that everyone hates, which is three, which is legitimate. It's a terrible movie.
I take superhero movies with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and structurally and everything, that movie's fine. Mm-hmm. They messed up a lot of things. That should have been a three-part movie. Because the Phoenix Saga.
It's a Phoenix Saga.
Yeah, Phoenix Saga is very long. Just like the last X-Men movie that came out should have been three movies long because they're fighting Apocalypse.
I didn't even see these ones, yeah.
Yeah, and then they just cram it all into 2.5 hours, and you're like, no. Mm-hmm. Doomsday, the new Batman vs. Superman movie, Doomsday's in it. He's in like the last half an hour. And you're like, where the fuck has Doomsday been this whole time? And they turn Zod into Doomsday. And you're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Lex Luthor creates Doomsday from Zod's ship, and then Doomsday just turns into like this weird creature that monster that they're talking about. They're like, yeah, he didn't really have that many bones coming out of him. It's like, that's all he is. It's just bones coming out of him. He looks badass, dude. Uh-huh. Have you ever seen a picture of Doomsday?
Just only from this thing.
He's a badass motherfucker. Yeah. And so like in the movie, when Doomsday first comes out, you're like, when the hell is this? And then like he gets hit with like more nuclear waves, and then he turns into
gets stronger. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh wow.
And then he gets defeated in 10 minutes. You're like, no, this was a year long saga. And then he kills Superman, and you're like, okay, so Superman's dead. And then it shows Superman's coffin, and like right as they it fades to black, you see like some rocks rumble on his coffin. You're like, no, let us think he's dead.
Right.
He's dead.
Yeah.
They won't do it.
No, they can't. They gotta leave a little breadcrumb.
for people. So you're just going through this whole movie. I'm talking about Batman vs Superman right now. I like the movie. It's not terrible. People hated it. It's 2 hours of building up for like this 10-minute doomsday fight. Yeah. You're just like...
Well, what's true is that the way DC handles their group things is very different than how the Marvel people handle them, right?
Yeah, because
like Suicide Squad and that came around this a couple months together. Apart. Yeah,
I liked Suicide Squad a lot.
Oh, you did?
I liked it a lot. A lot of people hated on it.
Yeah,
I thought it was really great up until the last act. I hate the last act of all movies. It's all the same. A bad guy falls off a cliff, and everything resets. And it really needs something else. These movies are getting really repetitive.
Yeah.
Even though I love them,
yeah,
they need to change it up.
Right. These are just, the problems with these are like they got to make their money back because there's so many special effects.
Yeah,
right?
Marvel's not worried about that.
Like, Marvel's not, but DC.
Marvel is not worried about it. Like they're releasing Doctor Strange this week, which like nobody cares about.
Yeah,
but
he
it's
is.
Getting...
What are his fucking? I've never really understood that character.
So he's a Sorcerer Supreme. Like people come whenever there's something that has to do with like
magic.
Hell or interdimensional things, they always go to Doctor Strange to like see what he can do to help him out. Like he is. The in-between guy for like a lot of stuff.
Right, which
like
is like
healing people, bringing them back to life, casting a spell, sending you to another dimension. Like that's what
he
does.
So I never read his book because he'll just show up to be like, you know, the expert witness on something.
Like he's there basically Marvel's trump card of like when shit gets way too crazy and they don't know how to solve it, Doctor Strange will just come in and do magic and it's the end.
Which is like, just convenient.
Which like,
that is very convenient.
Cumberbatch now and that's like a...
Yeah. I don't know a lot of people who are Doctor Strange fans.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that were Ant-Man fans, but us, we go see it because we want to see it.
I knew Ant-Man was going to be at least like the first script... Is Edgar Wright did the first script and Paul Rudd? I was like, it's gonna be at least entertaining.
Yeah,
you weren't.
I didn't like it.
You didn't care for it.
You didn't like Ant-Man?
No,
I think I had good moments. What?
How many times?
Michael
did you see
Douglas
it?
Once.
I watched it twice and loved it the second time.
Okay.
I felt the same way the first time. I was like, eh.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. Like that it's in San Francisco. Yes. And that means Michael Douglas is contractually obligated to be in it.
Oh, right.
He's in every San Francisco
I like
movie.
How every San Francisco movie has these standalone Victorians that you never see in San Francisco. They're always like in a corner with no other house around it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like there isn't one like that in San Francisco, you know.
One of my favorite... lines in the movie, because you said yours, one of my favorite lines is when Kevin Smith is talking about Wild Wild West, and he's like, he finally got his spider.
Right.
Yeah.
And that movie was dog shit.
Oh, yeah. So bad.
And Kevin Klein and Will Smith are the worst comedy duo, I think, of any high-budget film that came out like since then. Like, now, it was bad.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Kevin Klein could have been a good Superman.
Whoa.
You think? Yeah. He's kind of got that very Midwest like vibe to him.
Yeah.
You could see it. He'd make a good Clark Kent.
I would pick Bill Pullman over like
Bill Pullman, yeah.
You know.
I could see that too.
But he's blonde. I don't know if Batman's ever blonde.
What about
trying to cast it?
Yeah,
let's do it.
What about
Joey from Friends? Back in 98.
Yeah.
He could have done
it. Now he looks like Zod, but
he could have done it. Now he looks like Zod.
I'm thinking in 98, who were like the actors that were like the hot actors? Even? Skeet Ulrich was everywhere.
Skeet Ulrich. Like, Leonardo.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I was just reading, for some reason, went down this rabbit hole and read like this like profile of Leonardo DiCaprio from 1995.
Oh, wow.
I know why.
From what year? 1995.
I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, because he made a documentary recently. DiCaprio has a movie.
It just aired, came out on YouTube.
But it starts with like his dad was like a comics publisher, which I never knew.
Oh, weird.
And like worked with like Crumb as like best friends with Tim Leary.
Oh, wow.
So like... DiCaprio had this weird counterculture upbringing, yeah.
Yeah.
But
funky.
Yeah. He would not have been a good Superman in 98, though, at all.
No, he's too young, too scrawny.
Hey.
Depp, Burton and Depp, why wasn't that the thought? Burton and Depp go together.
Oh, my God.
For, like, ever.
Yeah.
And now to the point where I don't think it's helping either of them, really. Anymore.
No.
That fucking, I saw that Lone Ranger movie.
No. No.
So bad.
Oof, boy.
A couple other quick things I want to mention that were just kind of funny to me is do we have to wrap it up soon?
No, we don't have to. I'm just saying, like, we're at 1:15 right now.
Okay. John Peters used to go in and wrestle people with his jujitsu moves.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
Beat
yeah.
up artists.
Yes.
For
yeah.
no reason.
That's amazing. Yeah. yeah. Get people in headlocks and stuff.
That's where he comes up with that. I've been in 500 street fights.
Yeah. It's so silly.
Also, he brings his children around.
Yeah.
He's been in 500 fights. He wants to taste people's blood, is what he says.
Yeah. Yeah. What a maniac.
Yeah.
Other stupid things were Superman versus ninjas. Remember in the third script?
Oh, right.
Well, the drawings were cool, actually.
Yeah. Breaking the sword over Superman's head. Like,
oh, God.
They were going to film in Pittsburgh, which always thought of as a huge metropolis.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's another city that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. That's funny.
New York City? That's basically what metropolis is, right?
Yeah.
That's funny because he was shooting Kevin Smith was shooting Dogma at the time.
Right.
And they couldn't use a building because it was being renovated to be Lex Luthor's headquarters.
Oh, wow.
And that's where Chris Rock was like, I'm going to be Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
That is interesting casting, too.
That's weird.
Well, yeah. Joe Schumacher was supposed to do, or no, was it? No, I think it was before Joel Schumacher. I'm sorry. Marlon Wayans was supposed to be Robin in Batman Forever.
Wow.
And then they were like, no, we're going to put you in the next one, Batman and Robin. And no, they went with Chris O'Donnell instead in Batman Forever.
Right.
Right. I'm trying to remember because I haven't seen him. So Batman Forever has Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell, Alicia Silverstone.
No, she's in Batman and Robin.
Okay, sorry.
But Marlon Wayans was supposed to be Robin, and they still had to pay him his full salary for it because he was under contract and couldn't take any other jobs at the time.
Oh, right.
So he got paid to be Robin.
Wow. Robin. What a great move. Yeah. He didn't get to be in that horrible movie, and he got paid for it.
Well, Batman Forever is not that bad.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember it?
I mean, I'd rather be in a movie at this point.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
He's in a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, he is.
Marlon Wayans is in every
I think
bad
we can all
movie.
Agree on that.
Yeah.
White
that
Girls?
That is true. Yeah.
Oh, God. I completely forgot about White Girls.
Scary Movie 1 through 30.
Yeah, those aren't bad.
First two are all
first,
right.
First one's great.
Little Man? Is he Little Man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
So the Wayans is in the franchise, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Bruce Wayans.
Yeah. I like this documentary. I thought it was pretty interesting. It's not easy to find online.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah.
It's easy to find, but not for free.
Right. I think I saw it for $4.99 on iTunes or something.
I went to the website, and he's got all these extras that you can pay for. Like stuff that would have been DVD extras. Like there's like for $3, cool. He does a word association with Tim Burton about his movies.
Oh, wow.
It's only 3 minutes long. I'm like, I don't know if I'd pay $3 for
that. Yeah, I'm not sure I'd do that either.
But yeah, I mean, this was a Kickstarter thing, I think. He did a lot of the fundraising through Kickstarter.
Oh, that makes sense.
The credits are very long.
Yeah. There's
for that reason.
A lot of thank yous for their donations, probably.
But yeah, this guy clearly loves this subject. He got access to... The only person I might have wanted to hear from was Cage, but he had some interview clips from him where he talks about it. So, you don't get Cage, it's fine.
His favorite superhero is Superman.
Like, Nick Cage's.
Nick Cage's. Luke Cage. Nick Cage's favorite superhero is Superman. I think he named his kid Kal-El.
Yeah, his son is named Kal, and he's autistic, and he's in a metal band called Eyes of Noctum.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, like... He's a legit...
He's Asperger's, not autistic. Sorry.
You're Asperger's.
Your ass is burgers.
Yeah. He loves Superman so much. Like, all of that stuff. Like, I think he would have done a good job. Like, it's hard to say and it's hard to everything, but I honestly think the movie would have been fine.
Yeah.
I think it would have been fine.
Yeah, a fine movie. I mean, as fine as Marky Wahlberg in Planet of the Apes. It's got to be better than that.
Compared to Superman Returns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything could be better than that, dude.
You mean Man of Steel or which one? What are you talking about? Superman Returns?
Superman Returns Brandon Roth and Bryan Singer. And like,
oh, that one. Yeah. Kevin Spacey's good in that, I think.
Kevin Spacey's amazing Lex Luthor. Yeah. Like, he did such a
good
job.
That is a great choice, yeah.
And Parker Posey was great, too, as the Miss... Tessmacher, which is not a character from the comic books either.
Right, she's just from the Donner movies.
Yeah, and so like,
good choice.
They just They just made a vanilla Superman movie. They didn't break any new ground, and it was really disappointing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. For some reason, I'm picturing like Louis C.K. as a Superman villain right now. I don't know why.
Oh, that'd be kind of interesting.
Like, came from another dimension. Yeah. I don't have an impression.
My daughter's an asshole.
Yeah.
That's his superpower.
Just like that's what the casting now, when you think about how ridiculous
the
idea of Nicolas Cage as Superman was then, it would be like, yeah, putting Louis C.K. as like a superhero.
Well, on that note, we should...
Not that note.
No? What note?
I don't know. We need a better note.
I think like we did a pretty good job throwing a lot of cool stuff from the documentary out there, but like really go watch this thing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you get to see Kevin Smith in his Superman muumuu.
Right.
You get to see like Tim Burton be very passionately still sad about it. You get to see Nicolas Cage in a Superman outfit, so excited to be Superman. And then you get to see him as Clark Kent, as like he wanted to play Clark Kent. And you get to see all this awesome art that was made before the whole movie was even in, like the script wasn't even done yet. There's so many aspects of like creativity and hard work that went into trying to get this movie made.
Yeah.
And it's really incredible to see all the hard work. There was a guy in it who dropped off the Matrix movie.
That's right.
To be a part of Superman Lives. There's some crazy stories in this documentary that we did fairly good justice to, but you just got to watch the movie to do it full justice.
Yeah, you'll learn a lot about weird plastic shells you can put all over your muscles.
Just so weird.
Bert, I would say you should watch Jodorowsky's Dune because it's kind of the same idea.
Yeah.
I want to watch that one, and I want to watch the one about the two brothers from Ireland who fight. The director went crazy. We were talking about that one the other day.
Oh, no, you're talking about Boondocks.
Yeah, the Boondocks Saints documentary.
They're from Boston.
Oh, there's a documentary about the making of Boondock Saints?
Yeah, the Irish guy.
That is weird, because I don't know anything about that. I know it's like a cult movie.
It's really good.
I know that Bob Rubin is in like the second one.
Oh,
Bob
really?
Bob Rubin is in Boondock Saints,
Oh, yeah, yeah, Bob Rubin. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I know about that.
But you also have a favorite doc that we talk about sometimes.
Remember in Boondock Saints when the cat hits the ground? Remember that it's on the wall? That was awesome.
It's awesome. But what's
the woman who wasn't there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No.
That's a great doc.
Oh, George. It's about a woman who lies that she's in 9/11 and her husband dies in it and all this stuff. And she takes over the 9/11 Victims Commission. It's so fucked up. And
it's
she
really
just
good.
Adds lies on that's lies. Amazing. Dude, it's such a good movie.
I gotta see that. What a
Bert, thank you.
Thanks for having me so much.
You're welcome so much.
Here.
Excelsior.
Excelsior, yes.
You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please subscribe, review, and rate.
For show notes or more information about George and Paco's appearances, visit supdocpodcast.com. You can send your corrections, questions, or comments to supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
We'd also like to thank Documentary News for their continued support. Please check out documentarynews.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @supdocpodcast.
This show is produced by Will Scovel and our theme music by David Siegel.